Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, all, and welcome to Happy Hour here with Jenna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we have another show ahead for you, and another brand new guest who apparently likes to color code stuff. Is that am I correct?
Oh my goodness! Now, okay, I am just going to admit for the record, this morning I must be slow because I was gonna ask Curly Pesky here, why? Okay, so you know how we talk about this, how I usually come on the air and I make up a fake name on our Zoom. Yeah, so yeah. Like this morning, my fake name was initially Tim the Tool Woman, but then I got kicked off our Zoom, so I came back as WTF. Well, Carol's name this morning is Greeny Greenerton. And I was going to say, what is that supposed to mean? But I know what it means because of our guest. That is so funny. All right. So let me tell you guys a little bit before we chit chat. Our guest this morning has written a number of books, but the one we're going to focus on today has a title that I absolutely love. And it is, wait for it, .. Surrounded by Idiots. And that is precisely the reason why I reached out to him today. He actually has a whole series of books that begin with surrounded by and then insert the noun. But we're going to talk about this book today because he basically says that everybody falls into one of four, for lack of a better word, I'll call them personality types with various characteristics. And he color codes them. Red, blue, yellow, and green. And we're going to dive into what they mean and how to interact with the various colors and their personality traits. But now I finally get why Curly Pesky is on our Zoom call today as Greeny Greenerton. That is true. And you know what? Now that you said that, and now that I know what I know about the greens, yeah. And we'll talk about it more with Thomas Erickson, but while he was going through all the various colors, I'm listening to the audiobook as we speak. I actually think one of our good friends and a very good friend of this show is a full-blown yellow. I don't know, Carol, if you would guess who that might be. In my opinion, she's a full-blown yellow.
Jeannie Kelly.
Yes! Oh, my God!
also Amy.
And I was thinking Amy too. Jeannie and Amy are yellows. I was trying to think what Frankenberry's color is. So we'll launch into all of that with our world renowned behavioral expert Thomas Erickson when we come back from the break. Meanwhile, speaking of Jeannie Kelly, this is I just want to give you guys a little heads up. Jeannie Kelly and I went. You know, she's a good friend of the show. She's a credit guru. She has provided expert credit advice to some very famous, high powered people on this planet. And last week there was a show at the Bar Devon that we went to get just a little girls' night out kind of thing. And Curly, you were invited, but you were not able to come. So you know that. Well, it was funny because we went to see, and I love him, and Frankenberry, I think you know this author too. His name is David Sedaris, and he's a humorist and a columnist, and he's written a number of like books that are just short stories, and he is absolutely hilarious. Yeah. And he's been around for a long time. I think I first learned of his work over 20 years ago, and he's been around longer than that. But the man has my ultimate dream job, right? All he does is write funny essays, compiles them into books, and then he goes tours the globe reading them on stage to live audiences, which is just phenomenal. So I've been wanting to see him for a long time. Jeannie and I went, and it was at the Bar Devon, which I hadn't been to in a really long time. So it was a really nice night, except that Jeannie and I, because we're highfalutin, mean Jeannie, you know, like we're pretty... Yeah, I guess highfalutin, you know, and we think who we are. We're, you know, like there's Beyonce and then me and Jeannie. You know what I mean, right?
I've always felt that way, yes.
Well, wait, no, actually, let me, I'm not being humble enough. It's Beyonce, J-Lo, then me and Jeannie, you know. So we go to the Barnabon and we forget that we're not in Manhattan, where you can, you know, go to a Broadway show, buy a $30 plastic cup of wine and then walk to your seat with it. So we go, we get to the Barnabon and they were, they had wine there and they were, they had one of my favorite wines, if I may say, is a Hunt Country Red right here by the Millbrook Winery. It's one of my favorite red wines. They had that. We each get a plastic cup full of that wine and it's not inexpensive, you know, especially in that type of venue. So we go trotting our bad selves. We get the wine, we go trotting off to our seats and we get stopped at the gate. They're like, where do you think you're going? We're like, we're going to our almost front row seats. Please step aside.
Oh, no.
And they go, Oh, no, you're not. You're not taking that in there. And we're like, huh? Like, you know that meme, that meme where you have a dog's like a big Great Dane and then he cocks his
head. His head.
Yeah.
We both do that at the same time. Like, no, you got to drink that out here in the lobby. Meanwhile, it's 1 minute to showtime.
Slam it.
We got our favorite red wine. We just bought it. It ain't cheap. 1 minute to showtime. So Jeannie and I didn't even say a word. We just looked at each other.
I started drinking, guzzling.
Knocked it back like we were at a kegger at a high school party before we were even old enough to drink, and the cops just showed up. And we stood there in the lobby and did that, and and then wiped our mouth with our sleeves, threw our plastic cups in the garbage, and away we went. And it was a fun time. It was a great show. It was really good. And I did make one, just, you know, sometimes I like to observe things that are weird and then I remember them. And so he's a seasoned pro, seasoned writer. He's been doing this forever. And it was a great show. But we were very close to the stage. And I noticed that while he was reading, you would think that, you stand up straight, you keep your legs together, whatever, and you read. No. He was like fidgeting, standing on one foot, then standing on the other foot, and then moving one foot around, swaying his hips. And I said to myself, this is so, I didn't know what to make of it. It wasn't a distraction, and I'm not criticizing him. I'm just like, here's a guy who has got this room. Like, we're right. All enthralled by him, and he's fidgeting. And I just found that fascinating. Maybe our guest will have some insight.
It didn't annoy you?
No. No, it didn't annoy me at all. I found it, I think it humanized him, you know? I think it humanized, not that he's not human. I actually, one time during the heart of the pandemic, I believe, I emailed him, or at least tried to. I think I probably emailed what I thought his person would be or his people would be to get him to come on the show. And I didn't hear back at all. So who knows where that email went.
But it was a good show.
It was fantastic. It was, and I would go again and again. Like, good. I said to Jeannie, I'm like, do you realize we just spent a good hour and a half having a grown person read stories to us? It was fantastic. The only thing that could have made it better is if we were in our living room and all of us were there in our jammies.
Sitting on the floor. Yeah.
Right. Sipping wine slowly.
In a semicircle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was that. Bringing you up to speed, if I may, on the cat situation.
Yes.
I did tell you that Punky had her second litter, right? Did I?
We just knew she was waiting to do so.
All right. Well, she's had her second litter. That's the good news. The bad news is I have no idea where they are. I have been watching, like, she's been coming around to eat. She eats her food now faster than Jeannie and I sucked down that glass of wine with 1 minute to go. And I suppose that's normal and natural because she's got to eat real fast and then get back to her litter. So she's been doing that. And so I've been following her with my eyes. I don't want to like scare her. So I kind of have an idea of where these kittens might be, but I figure I'll find out soon enough because I'm assuming she'll deliver them to me.
Meanwhile, now, how do you know for sure that she had them? Just by her size?
Well, because I calculated to the day when she was...
Oh, you saw them.
I went to the Google. I figured out to the day when she was going to have... And then sure enough, you guys, I predicted she was going to have them on September 29th. And I believe she actually had them on September 27th. So they're, but at the time we're recording this, they're about 2 weeks old. So very interesting. Now, I don't know how soon she'll bring them around. But meanwhile, you know, I still have the first batch.
All three of them are still with you?
They're still with me. Now, I'm really only supposed to have two still with me, but the one that's being adopted first, she's a little reluctant to get into the crate. You know, so we had a little issue there. And now since a couple weeks has gone by, it's time for them to get spayed. So I said to her new mama to be, I'm like, look, I'll be responsible for getting them all spayed. And then what we'll do is to make life easy, since they'll be already captured when I bring them home from the vet, I'll just swing by your house and drop her off in her little cone, in her little grogginess, and then she's yours. And she's good with that. So that's the new plan. But. Oh,
okay.
Uh-oh.
But meanwhile, I got crazy and I bought a piece of furniture. I bought a piece of furniture that's going to hide this gigantic $600 automatic kitty litter machine of mine.
Okay.
And I did that. Okay. I did that. And now, since you know that I am keeping this cat situation secret from the world, except for you two, pretty much, I had to suffer in silence and build this credenza, this kitty litter credenza, by myself. Okay.
It's a credenza / kitty litter hider?
Yes. Yes. A kitty litter hider / credenza, if we're being real honest about it and accurate. So over the weekend, I painstakingly put this monstrosity together by myself. Couldn't ask my dad because I'm living a double life, not right. Telling my parents about the kittens. So I do this now. Okay, now I've got this monstrosity that I've built in my garage, and I got to figure out a way to get it from my garage up to my spare room. Well,
you didn't assemble it.
I was going to say, why didn't you assemble it in the room itself, Spielberg?
He's an amateur. She's trying, though.
Because I have no idea what the heck I'm doing, and that's what I did. So now...
Well, what about your much younger paramour? He can't help you out with that?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. So miraculously, the day that I built this credenza and I said to my much younger paramour, hey... Hell, I didn't bother him to help me put it together. No, no, no. I said, hey, help me get this up the stairs so I can swing it in this spare room. That day, while he was moving an elliptical to get it out of the way so this credenza could go in its place, he threw his back out.
I was going to say he yanked his back, didn't he? Oh,
he
man.
He yanked his back. So much for having a much younger paramour. I could have had somebody much older. Yank his back out.
Oh, my God.
Well, now I got half the furniture in that room downstairs. I got this giant credenza that I half-baked built in my garage. Now I can't even put my car in the garage because it's too big and it's taking up too much room. So now I'm like, oh, is there no God? Well, while I was traumatized and trying to figure out how to fix it, my lawn guy comes over. Ha! And I said, lawn guy, this is it. This is perfect. My hair wasn't done. I had like mascara on one eye, not on the other. I go running down to my lawn guy and I say, who's got a name and who I adore, but I'm going to leave him out of this. So let's just say his name is Sammy, the lawn guy. No, Larry, the lawn guy. So I go, Larry, you got a minute? And he's like, yeah, hold on. It'll take me a second to walk over to you because I threw my back out.
Stop it.
And I get down on my knees and I hold both fists to the heavens and I'm like, what are you doing? So I go, well, how bad did you?
Oh, nice. How bad is it, Larry?
Oh, God.
But wait. Yeah. So I said, how bad? Well, it turns out he was nice enough that he was going to help me get this thing up the stairs, right? But this is a long-winded way of telling you that this is why God punished me. So
for lying to your parents.
For the whole thing.
Well, he's not punishing you for the whole thing. It's just the lying to your parents.
So Larry, the lawn guy, had a partner there with him who was doing my lawn. So they're nice enough, and they lug this monstrosity credenza up my stairs. And I say to them, thank you. And I give them money that they refused to take, but I like threw it at them. And like, thank you for doing this. Just bring it to the top of the stairs. I can slide it in the room and work on it.
Frankenberry.
No, apparently not. I'm leaning back.
They leave, and the kittens are asleep. So I've got to do this while they're asleep under the bed, so they don't run out because they don't leave the room because I can't capture them. So it's a whole thing. I open the door. I start sliding my monstrosity in the room, and there is a 16th of an inch. Too small of an opening.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. You can't make this up. Right? So I'm trying to twist and I'm trying to turn. And I finally, I'm doing the math and I'm looking. I'm going to have to take the door off. If I take the door off, I'll get it in and then put the door back on. I had to leave everything to come here and record the show. But when I get home... I'm going to Google how to take the door off. I'm going to take the door off and I'm getting it in because I will not, there'll be no rest until that happens. And if it doesn't happen, I will throw it over my balcony into my yard where it will flop into a million pieces. And then I'm going to call my junk guy to come and get it because this is too much. This is too much for one person to take.
Oh my gosh.
Spillborg.
I'm just saying, but I need it. I need it.
You need it just so you can't see the... Is that so your mother can ever come over your house again?
Well, it's so... Like, right now, I mean, I have a good handle on things. I love this kitty litter box. There's no... You can't tell that there's cats in my house at all. But I don't have use of the shower in that spare room. So if I did have company who needed to stay over, who didn't mind cats, I want them to be able to use the bathroom without sharing it with a kitten. So I'm going to do this, and there's going to be no rest in me until I do. So your girl is going to teach herself how to take a door off the hinges, take it off, move that in, put the door back on without letting three feral little stray cats escape. And it's going to happen tonight.
Wow.
Well, good luck to you there, my friend.
Thanks, FB.
Well, I think you're fine because any idiot can take a door off the hinges. It's not that hard.
I wasn't even trying to give you that, and you got it. Wow. You are good.
You are good. Run with it, Pesky.
Yeah.
You are a good greeny greenerton. All right. On that note, I hope everyone is feeling sufficiently sorry for me. But when we come back, we are going to learn all about the various personality types, how to interact with them, who you might be, what color are you really in this personality spectrum when we speak to world-renowned and international, because I do think he's going to be calling in from Sweden, author, speaker, and behavioral expert Thomas Erickson, author of Surrounded by Idiots. one of whom is speaking to you all right now.
He's going to fit right in.
Yes, indeed. All right. So that is what is on the way. Please stick around. You've got Happy Hour with Jonna Spillborg and Carol Pesci and myself, and we will be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again, everyone, to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillborg and Carol Pesci and myself. It's segment number two, and it is time now to get to our guest, who our guest is, like, you know, on the other side of the world and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about colors and coordinating them and everything else from the other
and
side.
And idiots. Don't forget the idiots.
Yes, I think that's the reason I'm here.
We're going to talk about all that with we have a wonderful guest today, and I will say this, just a little inside baseball to our listeners. you know, normally when we record this show and the three of us are on Zoom, we don't have our cameras on. Our guest has his camera on and he could give 007 a run for his money, both voice and face. So it's a treat for us. So
I'll go on.
We are speaking today all the way from Sweden with Thomas Erickson, who is a world leading behavioral expert and the author of my favorite title of all time, Surrounded by Idiots, which has been translated into more than 50 languages. He travels the world as a public speaker on a mission to guide people to better self-awareness. He believes that if people understand their own behavior, they can start to understand others as well. I would concur. And the world can be a better place to live. His latest publications include Surrounded by Narcissists and Surrounded by Setbacks. Thomas Erickson, welcome to Happy Hour. And America.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation.
So we are dying to talk. I got to tell you, I reached out to your people because I came across your book, Surrounded by Idiots. And then I found out that you really have a whole series, like a Surrounded by series, which I think is genius. But in terms of if we focus on Surrounded by Idiots, you have a different definition of idiot than I do, so we can start there. But the basic premise, and I want to get into it because I am fascinated as I listen to the book, you basically can categorize everybody into one of four, I'm going to say personality types, but I really don't think that's the right word, and learn how they kind of think and act, and that will eventually help us communicate better when we can identify those types of personalities. So let's talk basics. Like, what are we talking? What are these personality types? How do you recognize them? Give us the clue.
Well, as you actually touched upon already, it's not really a personality types. It is more kind of a behavioral types, or it's not even that. It's different types of behavior within different types of people. Not trying to look smart here, but the thing sounds smart. Sorry, it's not TV. But, you know, maybe I am the idiot, really. But the point is this, I mean, the point with this is to find some sort of easy to wrap your head around system that makes it easier to understand other people and not feel like you're surrounded by idiots. The colors are there, red, yellow, green, and blue. For your memory, it's really based on the infamous DISC profile, which is actually about behaviors, not personalities. I can get technical about why that's a difference, but let's say for the sake of argument, the colors is what you can see and what you can hear. The personality is what you try to figure out based on what you see and what you hear.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I knew I didn't have the right word when I said personality. But so this DISC system, which is something you would I've been a lawyer for a long time. You'd think I would have been familiar with it, but I'm not. But now that I am, because of reading the book, it makes perfect sense. So tell our listeners what the DISC stands for.
In my translation, it stands for Dominance, Influence, Stability, and Conscientiousness. It's actually dominant types is the red ones, you know, fast forward, very decisive, very competitive, goal-oriented. The yellow types, influential, they are the smiley ones, the happy ones, the shiny ones, the sun is over shining. And even if you say, you know, it's actually raining, they will say something like, yeah, but the sun is over shining somewhere. They're positive. You have to stay positive. And the green ones, the stability seekers, don't like changes, good listeners, team players, and so on, really calm and friendly and kind. And the last one, the blue ones, the seas, conscientious people, analytical people, engineers, some lawyers, I would say, you know, neurosurgeons, accountants, perhaps, orderly, very, very perfectionistic types, so to speak, loves details and so on. But those are the basics. And you can combine them, obviously. Most people are a combination of, well, let's say two colors.
And I'm glad that you said that, because as I listen to the characteristics of each type, you know, of course, I'm trying to run it through my filter. I'm like, well, which one am I? And I think I'm all of them except for green. And I was surprised that my co-host, and we've been good friends for a long time, she's calling herself green as green can be. So, but I am, you know, it's so fun listening to the book because you describe the behavioral types in great detail. And so you can kind of run through your inner circle, right? And you can be like, oh, this one is definitely a yellow and this one is a blue. But I do think that I'm probably, you know, brown, because you have to mix a lot of colors. All right. So here's a question of mine. I love that these have been identified, because in my line of work, for example, I deal with conflict every darn day. And sometimes I get frustrated because when you're trying to communicate with somebody and you're trying to get a point across and you think that you're speaking perfect English and that it makes sense, but you run into a brick wall. And now it sort of makes sense that maybe because I'm communicating with a different personality type and I'm not resonating. So my question is, when you don't have a long time with a person to be able to figure out what color they are, like, is there a shortcut to any of this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can, your family members you've been with forever, you can kind of figure it out. But what about people you just meet? Is there a way to apply this to them?
Now it's your red side that talks, actually. Yeah. You want a shortcut to save some time here. And I completely understand that. My wife is so red, so you cannot imagine. Imagine the most red person and then add a couple of 100%. She's so red and only red because, and a bit furious, she did. She got 98%. Didn't I get 100? That's a stupid, silly test. You know, I'll do it again. And I say, it's not a competition. Oh, everything is a competition. That's the red trait. Give me the shortcut. Life is short. I can give you, I mean, if you are constantly struggling with, let's say, one specific type of people or person, let's say, this one guy you just can't get along with, for some reason, you always end up arguing. Just pay attention to what this person is doing. Check the body language. Listen to the choice of words. Is it a competitive style? Is it an influential style? I mean, there's so many things to do, but the problem with people really are too much focused on themselves. So they tend to forget about everybody else. I am so keen on emphasizing my arguments. I want to make people listen to what I have to say. So you focus too much on your own message and tend to forget about the other person. If we could go, as the greener turn here does, to actually close the mouth and actually pay attention, listen some more, open up your ears, and then you will see so much more signals, small, tiny details, but you have to pay attention because they are there. They are actually there. We just don't see them, I would say. And that's why we are surrounded by idiots, by the way. The point is, some people are surrounded by more idiots than others. That's kind of an interesting thing. I met people who are some sort of idiot magnets who draws weirdos and lunatics to themselves. I don't know why that is. Well, I do, actually, but I can't talk about it.
Well, and this is Carol, a.k.a. Greeny Greenerton. In your defense, the title is so catchy. Absolutely love it. But very eloquently and diplomatically, you explain that if you are someone who truly believes you are surrounded by idiots, that means you're rigid and focused on your way of being without recognizing the differences in people and adjusting in how you see them and how you communicate with them. So you, even though that's your title, you're really coming and saying, no, really, nobody's really an idiot.
Actually, there aren't so many idiots out there. There are a few, 12, maybe 15, but they move around a lot, so we tend to run into them. No, everybody is an idiot in someone's story. That is just the way it is. As a young man, when I stumbled upon it, I found the idiot in the mirror. Very painful experience. Didn't end happily at all. And we should pay more attention. I mean, it's so easy to throw around cliches and things here, but it's actually the point I'm making. Pay attention to the other person and don't try to figure 15 people out at the same time. Focus on one individual, see if you can get to know her or him even better. But we are, I mean, that's actually not a joke. I mean, you can ask a psychologist, you can ask a neuroscientist, how many percentage of your thoughts are focused on you? They would say somewhere between 80 and 90%. Of our thoughts is about ourselves. That is actually not good news. It's not very helpful in a conversation. It's not very helpful in a sort of a complicated communication. I don't know exactly what type of law you work with. I have to admit that. But of course, it's very easy to, when it comes to how to interpret law 1B, 12, 16, you know, I don't know. It shouldn't be that hard because it says so in the book, but it really doesn't. And then you find yourself in an argument immediately. And why would you be helpful? Why not be, let's say, confrontational, let's say. And some people are. Some people are. In some businesses that I've been working with, I've worked with lawyers in Europe, and they say about the same thing. A lot of really, you know, it's easy to get in a conflict. But I think that's about, I think it's about how you start. If you start in a confrontational way, regardless of your color, you're going to find yourself in a conflict because everyone sits, people sit at the other side of the table. Of course, they're going to be, you know, trying to push back. I think you could solve a lot of possible, what, controversies by actually paying more attention. I'm not trying, again, it sounds a bit like a cliche. I understand that, but I really believe in it. I have used this tool for probably 30 years, I would say. And I have tested it on people who are sort of, you know, emptying trash cans. I tested it on presidents of huge corporations, CEOs, and they all react the same way. When you sort of tune yourself into the other individual, everything turns out so smoothly, just like magic almost. Yeah. Because they stop paying attention to themselves and pay attention to you because, ooh, this feels so good. This person actually understands me. Maya Angelou said something really beautiful many years ago. People won't maybe necessarily remember what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel. And I think yes. That's important to remember here.
Exactly. That's why this whole, I'm going to call it a system for lack of a better word. Really, to me,
it is a system. It is a system. Sure.
It really is like magic. But part of the problem, for lack of a better word, is, you know, people don't wear their color on their shirt. They don't walk up and go, hi, I'm Donna. I'm a red, blue, green. Right? You don't know. There is a test, like they can kind of test to determine which color they're more, I suppose, than other. But so we have to ascertain this from our day-to-day experience with people. So you really kind of got to tune in. And your book, I think, will help a lot. And if you want to learn how to do this and you want to be more receptive to people and you don't want to be surrounded by idiots all the time, you can learn these things from your book. So I did have another question, though, because this is so fascinating to me. Like, are you born with these behavioral traits or are they learned and can they change over time? Like, if you're born a blue, are you always a blue? Do you dye a blue? Like, I'm just curious about that.
Well, it's the old horse chestnut, of course. It's this nature versus nurture. Let's say, for the sake of argument, it's 50-50. You get a huge chunk of everything in your DNA from your parents. That is just the case. That's the way it is. Let's say 50%. Actually, psychologists are arguing, well, there's some sort of X factor in between. Maybe it's 48, 44, 49, you know, and there's something, but just scrap that for now. Let's say it's 50-50. And so you get what you get and you can't change anything about that. Then it's about how your parents are raising you and your first little buddies at kindergarten and then your first years in school and when you reach your teens and then you sort of grow up, maybe. Some people never reach adulthood, it seems, these days. Personal reflection there. Don't tell anyone I said that. But the thing is this. When you reach adulthood, whenever that might be, it's actually when the frontal lobe closes. You can't see this, but when that's actually a physical thing. When your frontal lobe closes physically, that usually happens for young women 18, 19, and for young men 23, 24. I don't know why our creator or Mother Nature did that. Don't kill the messenger, and then we can make decisions based on consequences. We can understand the consequences of our decisions, and then we say we are grown up. We have grown up, actually. And then you stop changing your personality, which means you stop changing your behaviors. Now you are sort of more a fixed personality, which shows in your behavior. So if you are born blue, you can sort of tweak this back and forth, and depending on how you are sort of, you know, getting along with people until you reach, let's say, somewhere around 20s, early 20s, let's say. You can't change yourself if you can do it deliberately, and you can change yourself not so deliberately if you are facing some really severe trauma of some kind, near-death experiences or some sort of a psychological burnout or super stress of some kind, then you might change. But in general, people don't change their personalities when they reach their early 20s. That doesn't mean you can't add things on top of things. You can, let's say I was born yellow, let's say. I'm still yellow. Yay, whoa, I'm yellow. Okay, life is great and everybody is my buddy. I don't know them yet, but we're all friends everywhere. Okay, so that's me. Then the fuses go off in my house. And I need to check things really thoroughly so I won't burn it down completely. So I will go blue for 30 minutes and testing everything and checking and be really, really detail oriented and so on, which means I'm tweaking myself into the blue corner for, let's say, 31 minute and a half, let's say. Then I will go back to be the funny guy again, right? So I can act in any color consciously. I have to do it sort of deliberately, let's say. But when I do that, of course, I'm showing and proving I can act any, showing any color of any sort. But in full freedom, I will go back to be the yellow funny guy because that is really who I am. That what makes me feel better about myself, better about the situation, better about life, really. I usually say, not that you ask, but I usually say to people, because I, as a coach and mentor, I talk to a lot of people on a yearly basis, individually, and I meet, I would say, from time to time, someone who says, I want to be somebody else. I want to be another personality. I want to have another color in my profile. I'm blue and green, and people say that I'm like this. I don't like that. I want to be more yellow or red. Can I be that? And I usually say, well, you know, I wouldn't recommend it because that would mean you have to violate who you really are, and that is usually not recommendable because you are who you are, and we can't be everything. You can be everything you want. That's actually a dirty lie. I don't like that statement at all. You can be anything you want. That is actually not the case. I wanted to be a basketball player as a young man. Couldn't make it. Too short. Too short. Then I wanted to drive Formula One cars. Too tall. It didn't fit into the cabin. Life has treated me very unfairly. So I had to find a profession where my height didn't matter. So I started writing books and nobody seems to care how tall I am. That is kind of the way it is. And even when it comes to your behaviors, accept who you are and add things and learn how to deal with it. Learn how to listen to other people. Learn how to interpret other behaviors. Learn how to interact and be the best possible version of who you really are. But don't violate your personality. Don't try to be an extrovert if you're a true introvert. Don't do that. That is actually, that's going to give you physical stress-related diseases. And that is actually not a joke.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, because I've tried that before. I've tried to be, you know, I think I'm actually introverted. Most people would disagree with me. And when you try to, like, if you couldn't pay me enough to go to like a big crowded concert, like, you just could not. Like, Taylor Swift is doing a tour, right? One of my paralegals couldn't wait to go. She planned for weeks and weeks. I'm like, that's my nightmare. I'm just gonna buy the CD. I don't want to go. I don't. But I also think it's interesting because if you just said basically you can deliberately amend your behavior maybe to fit a particular situation, but then you can deliberately go back to that which makes you comfortable. And I remember, well, two things. If you can deliberately change your behavior for a reason, is it possible that you can have someone else change theirs? Like, if you're having, you know, let's say you're having a conversation with a red, and is it possible for you to tap into something that would make that red say, you know what, maybe I'm being a little too red, not in those words, but maybe I'm being a little too short, maybe I'm being a little too abrupt, maybe I'm being a little too cold. Let me ease up a little bit on those personality traits, like in their head, say that. Is it possible to affect someone that way when you're not a professional like you, like when you're just having a conversation with a colleague or a client or a friend?
Okay, I get a long or short answer. The short answer is no. The little longer answer is actually, I mean, you can't change somebody else. It's hard enough to change yourself, right? That's really, really hard work to change who you are. Trying to change somebody else is 100% impossible. They will change and adapt and sort of fine-tune their own actions and behaviors and communication style if they want to. You might be able to pushing them in that direction. Of course, you can say, when you do this, I react like that. Do you think that's good? Or I would prefer if you talked a little bit more slower, faster, or be more direct or more, you know, fluff it in a little bit because this is really harsh on me. Of course, you can do that. But if they don't want to, they won't do it. Hence the title, right? Some people just don't get it. Those are maybe, no. But seriously, and again, they are not idiots, but it's really, really hard to change you, and it's even impossible to change somebody else. If they want to, they will do something. Depends on your type of relationship. If it's a professional one, you can't say, you know, could you go more blue today? That would be great. Or could you be more specific or so? You can ask in a friendly tone, not to make them angry and so on. When it comes to people that we know and in our private lives, our partners, you know, a spouse or a parent for that matter, to say, you know, when you act in this particular way, it makes me feel like that. Can we talk about it? I would like to have a quick conversation. Would that be okay? Usually people say, oh, I didn't know. I mean, most people are not evil. They just didn't know. They just did what they always has done, you know, interrupt and exaggerate and whatever. But when you point out, this is my, I'm not saying that you're doing it wrong, but my reaction is the following. When you step on my toes, I will be a bit sad. Can we talk about that? And most people with an IQ level over room temperature will say, oh, sorry, let's have a chat. Actually, that is usually not the problem. If you just phrase it in a friendly tone and with a smiley face, you know, smiley, friendly eyes and a smile, that usually solves it.
I will say this. Part of the reason I asked that question is many years ago, I'm going to say probably 10 years ago, I had an experience where one of my, I still have a staff, and I love your book too, because this is helping me figure out, like, you can really play to somebody's strengths once you figure out what color they are. And I was sitting in my office, and one of my staff came up to me, and I was in the middle of something, and I was probably stressed about something. And she came up and she said, good morning. And I said, you don't see me, because I needed to get something out in a real hurry. I said, you don't see me. And she stopped and she looked at me and she said, I said, good morning. And in that moment, I said to myself, oh my God, I think I literally said, I'm an idiot. And I said, you know what? Good morning. But I didn't just change my behavior that day to acknowledge her and thank her for saying good morning, say good morning back. From that day forward, Thomas, I never start a conversation, whether it's text or in person, without a friendly greeting. Good morning. How are you? Happy Monday. I never, ever do that. From that day forward, all she had to do was look at me and say, I said good morning.
That's a beautiful story. I have so many of examples. I worked with a guy like that. He just entered the office. We were working at, you know, 15 tables in a row, 15 desks in a row, boom, 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 like this. And he had the last one. He just came in the morning like a gray stripe, of boom, and then he slammed the computer in the table, yeah, bam, up with the laptop. And then 2 minutes later, hi, everybody. And then boom, tapping away. He was red. And I got the feedback. And we said, why don't you say hi when you arrive? It's actually kind of nice. And he said, well, I was thinking it. Couldn't you tell? I said hi yesterday. I said hi last week. Well, what do you mean? I'll let you know if I have a problem with that something. But I said, that doesn't work at all. I get it. I'm not conflict avert at all. My colors are arranged in a way that if somebody wants to get attack me or something, I just, go on. Are you done? Would you like to talk to me like a grown-up, or would you rather be angry and yelling a little bit? I really don't pay attention to those things. I don't care. And a lot of red people don't like that because they want to have a reaction. And I say, you won't get it from me. But you're kind of rude now, you know. But they can take this. This is just an example. I understand that, but you can do that with blue people as well. When you do this, I react like that. With yellow people and with green people, you have to be a little bit cautious because they can take it very personally and think that you're onto them, you know, that you're sort of you're getting on their nerves or you're after them or you want to hurt them or something, because they are relation oriented. They are the people's people, let's say. Here we need to be a bit cautious, especially in front of other people. If you say something to a yellow person that this individual might take as criticism in front of other people, ooh, that's really bad. Now you have yourself a bit of an enemy, actually.
Wow.
So always do it separately. Always do it behind a closed door. When it comes to green people, when it comes to green people, they will never say, they will just nod and agree, but they don't agree. And they will behind your back say something really nasty, probably. So take it easy with us too.
Now, see, because I pegged you as a green person. Are you a green person? Mostly
who,
green?
Me?
Yes.
Me? No. Yeah.
Yellow.
I have no green at all.
You have no green at all?
Green is the color I don't have. I have no green whatsoever. I'm so sorry to all the greens. I do apologize. I have a really high red bar and an equally high blue bar, 82, that's percent. Each bar is 100%. I have 68 yellow, which makes me task-oriented with some yellow, and which I show people on a stage as I'm a keynote speaker. I have no green at all. I'm so sorry. But I understand why you think that, because I'm talking in a friendly tone with you, which is a green behavioral trait.
I love it. I wasn't ruh. That's my word for wrong. I wasn't ruh, because right after I said green, right after I said green, I said blue, and so did you. So I could talk to you. We could talk to you forever about this, but we need to let you go. So if people, obviously, if you want to learn more about this system and the behaviors and the colors and what you are and what your staff is and what your friends are, you could always buy the book, which is Surrounded by Idiots. I'm in the middle of the audio version, but you can get that book everywhere on Amazon. Also, you have a whole Surrounded by series. I'm assuming all of your Surrounded by books are on Amazon. Yes.
Absolutely so. The latest one is Surrounded by Energy Vampires, launched last week.
Oh,
fresh as it can
we'll
be.
We'll have to have you back.
We got to have you back for that, because we know about Energy
Vampires.
I would love that. You have, they can find you on LinkedIn, on social media. You actually have a website called surroundedbyidiots.com. Do you have a website that's called surroundedbyenergyvampires.com or not
no.
yet?
I'm using Surrounded by Idiots, converting it into thomaserickson.com, because what I don't have is an ego that tells me I need to use my name, but everybody says I should do that. So,
yeah.
you know, go. I went a bit green there. I can feel it. I can feel it. Yes, yes. Oh, it's not about me. You know, no. Who am I? That's a green trait. So maybe I don't know. it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Here, Thomas Erickson, author of Surrounded by Idiots and Surrounded by Energy Vampires. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you very much, Thomas. And we will be right back. Happy Hour is not done yet. John is Billboard, Carol Pesci and myself. Segment number 3 is on the way, so please stick around.
Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jenna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. It's Jonna Spilboy. It is Carol Pesci and myself. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, blueberry.
Blueberry? Thank you.
Blueberry.
Blue. I thought you were making fun of me being under the weather.
No, I've assessed you as being blue.
Okay.
You're a blue. I've assessed you. Now, I didn't do it formally, but guess what? I'm gonna.
What is blue again?
Very analytical, very OCD, very organized, very smart, very you remember things and you catalog them and you have all the right answers. I think that's you.
Some of that might be, yes.
Yeah, but as it turns out, because Curly asked our guests when we were off the air, you know, because I know some of these tests can be very pricey and very long, these sort of behavioral tests, these personality tests. He's got a free assessment on his website, which will give you, you know, kind of a little indication. And he also has a paid version, right, Carol? He said on his website, thomaserickson.com. And by the way, Erickson is spelled E-R-I-K-S-O-N, Thomas the traditional way, where you can take a free assessment to give you sort of an idea of what color you might be.
Yep. And if you wanted the more detailed one, there's a paid option available. I'm fascinated by it, so I'm definitely going to take it.
And it's not the paid version isn't even that much. I'm not talking thousands of dollars. You're talking $100 or so US in that neighborhood. I'm fascinated by it too. And I think anybody who's an entrepreneur or has a business, employees should definitely know this information, because it can help really play to your employee strengths. It can help in your personal relationships. It really is like having a little crystal ball to get around conflict. And in this day and age, Who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Stuff.
Yeah. Surrounded by idiots. .com. And yeah, so pick up that book. We're going to have him back to talk about his latest book, Surrounded by Energy Vampires. You know, a long time ago, we had a show about energy vampires, and we really have not had one since. So that this could be perfect.
Yeah. Yes, I was thinking that myself. So yes, that would be perfect.
All right, FB. Well, you
all right.
That.
I am going to work on it. And again, thank you very much to Thomas Erickson there for joining us here this morning. And for Jonas Spielborg, for Carol Pesci, I'm Frankenberry. And join us again next week, same time, right here. And we'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spielborg and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.